Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 162. This is Brian.
Johnny.
What's happening, man?
Not much.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, we're going to finish our Voltron review today.
Sure.
And then, but before that, we've
was
got
I
some.
Was supposed to watch
it? Yeah, apparently. You couldn't finish it in one sitting?
No.
They went all out and did 13 whole episodes this time.
Yeah.
So there's 26 episodes.
You complained, 10 episodes is the limit.
Well, but it's half hour.
No, it was it. No, either way.
So anyway, so they've got 26 episodes left in the series. They okay. came out and said that, and the next 13 are coming out in November.
Oh, so they're wrapping it up.
Yeah, it'll be done in 2019.
Yeah.
So
they got to make room for Vehicle Voltron.
We'll get to that. All right. First things first, some news to cover happened in this
and
week.
And then try Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
Just the three robots that stack on yep. top of each other.
Yeah. When a robot turns into another robot. What?
Yeah, well. That's not always true, though. Transformers had robots that turned into robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they?
Well, combiners are different robots.
Well, but yeah, but they turned into like cars and stuff too, still.
Not when they were a combiner.
I guess you're right.
A combiner didn't turn into a bigger bigger vehicle. A combiner had to split down into the five or six and then turn into the vehicles.
All right. All right. Let's talk about news. First things first.
Don't get me on robot talk.
We'll get on to robot talk because I shared something kind of robot related on Facebook the other day, yesterday.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
You didn't watch that video? You just commented? Oh,
it.
Dude, it was...
Because anyway. My comment was awesome.
The comment was awesome, but... okay, so The Walking Dead is definitely...
Speaking of part of my comments.
It's in its death rattle. This show has to be coming to an end soon.
If Andrew Lincoln's leaving, I would think it's coming to an end soon.
Well...
Not to say that any of the other cast is not as good as Andrew Lincoln, but...
No.
He's been the main character... The whole time.
Right. And they went ahead and they cast Ryan Hurst, Opie.
Do you know that I guessed who they cast him as before I read the article?
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, oh, hey, look, it's Beta.
Yep. So they cast him as Beta. So if you haven't read up on the...
The Whisper War.
They're part of the Whispers and the Whisper War.
Well, he
War.
Doesn't show up until the Whisper War, like right before the Whisper War.
Right. So, well, I just said he's part of the Whisperers. Yeah. So Beta was an interesting character. Kind of a waste.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when the issue came out that like first showed him.
Yeah.
Like there were only like normally Queen City, Pleasant Ridge, there's a big stack of Walking
sure.
Deads.
Yeah.
And there was a very tiny stack of Walking Deads. And right. it's like, oh, they introduced a new character, so everybody wants the book.
Right.
And then he was kind of late.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean he was a beta. 100%.
Totally.
So, I'm interested to see who they're going to get to play Alpha.
Did they
announce that?
Yeah, it's, oh, crap. Now I forgot who Alpha is.
Well, I'll look it up real quick because I have it right here. But remember, I don't watch The Walking Dead anymore, so
they
I don't go after
Alpha
news.
Alpha and Lydia? Is that her name?
The daughter, yeah.
Yeah. They both have been cast.
Okay. Let's see. Alpha cast.
Samantha Morton?
Yep, Samantha Morton
yeah,
will play Alpha. That's a good choice.
It's all stunt casting at this point.
It absolutely is. Because she was Moneypenny. She was in one of the James Bonds, wasn't
no.
she? No? Am I thinking of someone else?
You're thinking of somebody else. Samantha Morton was in... was she the psychic in Minority Report?
Like the girl in the tub of goo?
The psychic, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was her.
Okay. I mean, I can look this up real
well,
quick because I have
say,
it right here. Yeah, she was. You're right.
Yeah.
And she's in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
She was on John Carter.
Right.
That's where
yeah.
I remember her from is John Carter. Okay. So.
What was she in John Carter?
She was one of the Martians.
She was?
I think with McNulty. Dominic West? Weast? However you say it, West?
No, she was one of the Greens. She was one of the Tharks.
Oh, okay. Well,
she was playing the voice of one of the Tharks.
Anyway.
I just, you know, I remember from my Minority Report and that, so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, obviously Minority Report right there. So, yeah, you're right. It's this stunt casting, and it's kind of like, okay, the shelf life, Andrew Lincoln's leaving. Lauren Cohen is probably leaving because she's got another, she's got another show. Yeah. I just don't see how they're
It's the thing where this is how it'll go. Instead of and spoilers, if you haven't read Up to the Whisper War of the Walking Dead, stop listening for about the next 10 minutes and jump ahead.
I don't think it'll take 10 minutes.
Well, I'm just giving them a little leeway here.
Sure.
Instead of Ezekiel getting his head cut off, it'll be Rick.
Yeah.
Gets his head cut
off.
That's
how
Ezekiel
will
be the person that takes his place.
Okay. Is the tiger still alive on the show?
No. They did that. Yeah. They did it
like I said,
in the All Out War. Okay. I haven't watched it, but I know that. Because that was a big hoop-de-doo.
I gave up when Negan showed up. And
was it Negan?
Or whoever Jeffrey Dean Morgan happens to be playing.
Yeah.
But I just keep thinking
back.
He's
playing the comedian.
Kind of, yeah.
He's more comedian than he is Negan. Like, he's comedian... flashback comedian in The Watchmen, not comedian, sad comedian at the end
right.
or at the beginning of Watchmen.
Right, right.
He's playing that character more than he's playing
Negan
because you have to cut Negan off at the legs when you do it on broadcast television.
Well, yeah, because
Negan's
like,
an over the top ass.
Well, and it's the language too, which,
right.
you know, again, just worked perfectly in the comic, and he's a super interesting character, and he's still out there somewhere.
Well, it's still the same as the governor. I mean, they switched the governor up to the point where it was like...
The whole Woodbury thing was dumb.
Yeah.
The whole idea of Woodbury was really, really stupid.
Well, Woodbury, you could do... Like, they could do it. I mean, like, they did it, but you cut out the helicopter thing.
Yeah.
Which... How do we meet Woodbury? Because we meet Woodbury because of Michonne and... oh, crap. What's her name that... died at the end of that whole debacle. Andrea. So you meet the governor because of those two instead of the helicopter crash.
Right.
It didn't have as much of an impact because the helicopter crash gave you hope that there's more out there than what there was.
Because this was the first time you saw, you know,
something
other than the
society.
The like 45 years they spent on Herschel's farm.
Right. Well,
You know,
yeah.
But
at that point, what was it?
It was season 4.
Yeah, the show ran a lot longer on Herschel's farm than the book did.
I mean, well, it's because like Carl got shot,
right?
Because where's Carl? Oh, lying in a pool of his own blood.
Where's Carl? Somewhere
dead.
In the barn.
Dead.
He's in the barn with the dead.
Yep.
He knew Sophia was in there before anybody else did because he'd been crawling around up in there. Damn.
Yeah, Sophia still alive in the comic.
Lydia coming to the show, but Carl's gone. Hey,
yeah,
how's that going to work?
It doesn't matter. Her and Sophia.
Man.
They'll do
well, not Sophia, the other girl. Sophia's dead in the show.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking comic. Yeah.
The other girl that became Sophia.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they'll do, I guess. Anyway, all right. So
which would make it more interesting if they did something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be like a bold move.
Why
but
not?
Oh wait, this is a show that doesn't do bold moves.
No, they're afraid of bold moves.
I don't know that they're afraid of bold moves. I just don't think that they're like at the point where they care anymore.
I don't think they ever really did bold moves.
First couple of years. I think they did a few. That like you were like, oh, this isn't the comic book. Like there was stuff where I'm like, oh, this isn't the comic book. This is more interesting because it's not the comic book. Now they've literally like just integrated the comic book into the show. And when people get fired or get wrote out, you just put somebody else from that comic book in their place. So,
yeah. Anyway.
But that would be an interesting like thought to put it as that girl and Lydia get involved.
Why not?
I would.
I'm saying, why not? I mean, it makes sense. So do that. And then it's got inclusion for everyone. Cool. All right. Well, Ryan Hurst, right?
You were angry about that for some reason.
I'm not
just
at all.
Your attitude like there for a moment, like, cool.
No, it's been a day.
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. I really don't like The Walking Dead anymore. I like the comic. I just don't like the show.
I'm so far behind on that.
Ryan Hurst, though, makes sense for Beta. Like, looks wise and everything.
You're not going to see him if they put that mask on him and all that.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. But anyway. It'll be interesting to see how he and Samantha Morton mesh.
We'll see once it's over with.
Yep.
Hell, I haven't even watched last season.
No.
And she keeps asking me, I'm like, if you want to watch it, watch it. I don't care. I'm like, I know who dies.
I mean, they are casting him.
Well, like, yeah, because they're going to have to put skin over him. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Well, you know, and it's like, I've been nice to her because I haven't told her who died on this past season.
Oh.
Because she's not social media at all.
Ah.
So she doesn't know about a certain young man dying.
A young Cyclops who died.
He would be a good Cyclops.
Well, he is a Cyclops because he's only got one eye.
An X-Men Cyclops.
I don't think Chandler Riggs would be a bad Cyclops. No.
Yeah, he's got the whining down. So, you know.
I just gave Johnny the finger.
Gene!
Anyway. All right, moving on.
What is Cyclops good for, except to yell Gene and shoot laser bolts out of his eyes?
And
lose. Oh, yeah. Let's do the him and Velma crying around on the floor looking for their glasses when they get knocked off. My glasses, Gene, my glasses. Yeah.
That's drama.
That's not drama.
Anyway, all right.
Wolverine should just run by with his blades open and accidentally trip and cut Cyclops' head off and then fall on his blades.
Ah.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, cool. Okay,
more
so.
More Gambit, more Rogue.
They got to get those. Married? They have to get, yeah.
And they're going by Mr. and Mrs. X?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they have a whole book now. Called Mr. and Mrs. X. That's the name of the book. So
I was wondering because I read that somewhere and I'm like, wait a minute. Did Gambit and Rogue get married?
So it was
because
it was the whole thing in the comics where Kitty and Colossus were actually going to get married. It was leading up to it. And then the day of the wedding, they didn't get married. So Rogue and Gambit decided to get married.
Because the money had all been spent. And you know,
because
the caterers were right there. And yeah, the dress fit Rogue, too. So. Because Rogue touched Kitty and became Kitty. And
she was able to phase at just the right parts.
And Gambit's,
you know,
like, free ball? I'll take that free ball.
Yeah, sure. All right. So Disney announced the name for their new streaming service. Disney Play.
Okay.
I was reading a bunch of people who think they're going to just truncate it to display. Like display. But
I got you.
Yeah. I was like, that's really stupid.
No, if they did it, they would do it like their Cartoon Network stuff, or their cartoons, where it would be D-Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
It would be D-Play.
So apparently they've started pulling content from Netflix.
What did they expect? What did they expect it to be called? Mickey Mouse Network? MMN.
There you go. Okay, so they've pulled it out. They've started pulling stuff off of Netflix.
If the contracts work that way, then
right,
that's
the stuff
fair.
That's
like,
coming
what
up.
Have they pulled?
It didn't say.
Oh, okay.
But it says here, Captain Marvel, the final installment of the Star Wars sequel trilogy, and sequels like Frozen 2 and Toy Story 4 are going to be premiering on the network, which comes out in 2019.
Oh no, I buy those. So don't.
So matter. Anyway, it's gonna be about $6, from what they're saying.
$6 a month?
Yeah,
that's outrageous.
But it's not gonna have nearly as much content as Netflix or Amazon.
Right.
Now, here's the interesting thing: is the Star Wars movies, like from The Last Jedi, previous?
Yeah.
TBS actually has the streaming rights to those until 2025.
Okay.
So I was reading about how they're actually trying to get those
back. Do they have the rights to the original
yes.
trilogy?
And it streams
or do they
on
have the rights to the remake trilogy that he did.
Are you talking about the special editions?
Yeah, it's whatever they're called.
The special editions are all that they show. That's the only versions of the movie, I'm using air quotes, that exist. Well, no, I mean, I'm living proof. I have the theatrical release.
I'm more living proof than you. I have that version of the VHS tapes.
Well, right, but I don't have a VHS
player.
Well,
right, but like, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
It's like, you know, you can't say it doesn't exist when I can take a picture when I go home of every single version.
I was being
facetious.
You
know what I mean.
But I do know what you mean.
They do say that, though.
They do.
They do say that. And I'm like, it's not true. I literally could go home and pull out the originals, the special editions, the VHS, or not the VHS, the DVDs, the Blu-rays.
Did you buy the Blu-rays?
Yeah, I bought the Blu-rays too. Well, the Blu-rays had...
It was all six.
Well, what happened is that the content, the bonus content,
right,
became more and more and more important,
yeah,
than the movies did.
Yep.
And that there's stuff on the Blu-ray content, the like bonus stuff, that I would recommend the box set just because of that. And that stuff about the 501st,
yeah,
and stuff like behind the scenes stuff where it's like, oh cool, different stuff.
Yeah.
And that, it's just like the DVDs would be a recommendation just because there's a documentary on there for episode one that like gives you a different perspective.
Yeah. Oh, the box set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I have episodes 1 through 6 right, on yeah, DVD. I have the box set of Star Wars through Jedi. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, I'm not a super fan, but I am a great fan of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I love Star Wars. Like,
I mean, everybody can say they love Star Wars, but there's a certain like commitment that you have to Star yeah, Wars, and there's a certain commitment I have to Star Wars, and it's a different commitment.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I'm not ever going to toot my horn that I'm a super fan, but I can say that my fandom for Star Wars is greater than a yeah, lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm re-listening to Heir to the Empire Book 2 right now.
Right.
So, yeah. And it's just because I haven't read it in a long time, and I couldn't find my copy of it, and I had a credit on Audible, so I'm like, screw it, I'm just going to buy it.
Right.
Because like, I bought the first one a while ago, and
it's one of those things where, yeah, I haven't gone back and read any of those, but, you know, you can only read so many Star Wars books in a lifetime.
Right.
And I've read probably 75% of them.
I read a lot of the Legends stuff.
Right.
And I've read most of the new canon and stuff.
At this point, I'm not interested in any of that.
And I can understand.
Thrawn,
yeah.
Just because I love Thrawn.
And Thrawn is very different.
And that's like, the thing is like, I have picked that book up yeah, and I just haven't read it yet.
I forgot how menacing he was yeah, in Heir to the Empire, oh, yeah, where like he's much more in like Thrawn and then Thrawn Alliances, he's much more calculated and like political.
Well, and the thing about it is the Thrawn, like comparing the two Thrawns, because you can, the Thrawn that we get in now in modern mm-hmm, time is dealing with the Empire.
Yeah.
Whereas the Thrawn that we got in Heir to the Empire was gone.
Right. He was the Empire.
Yeah, he literally came back and was like, well, I'm it.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to do.
And because
doesn't he destroy like an entire like spaceport facility at one point
yeah,
in that? Yeah.
Well, he doesn't destroy it. They attack it because they want to steal the ships.
Right.
So, but they would have gotten away with it. But like Han sets off an EMP that, right, you know, fries all their, you know.
But like literally there's points in that trilogy where you're like, this dude don't give a shit.
But
he's just
like,
gonna come in and destroy everything.
So, like, what I love, what I totally forgot too, and part of it is because I read it before and I'm listening to it now because it's Mark Thompson. So one, he does Thrawn's voice completely different in between the two series, which I think is brilliant. And then two, Talon Card is Hondo.
Yeah.
Like I never put that together until I started listening again. It's like
the scheming.
Yeah. It's like holy crap! Like he's the pirate with the heart of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like,
and
they
I'll
were
be
trying
honest,
to find a Lando Calrissian that wasn't Lando Calrissian because Lando Calrissian became a military man.
Yep, and I'm gonna be honest, I think they have missed the boat excluding Mara Jade from the larger Star Wars universe.
Well, yeah, and that won't even matter,
and we won't get that version of Mara Jade ever, which is really sad.
No, because Luke became what Luke is in this trilogy now, so you know.
Unless JJ does something to undo it. So anyway, that's a good segue.
There's not
going to
be any undoing to that. It's just going to be over.
Yeah.
Episode 9 is the end of that story. I mean,
yeah, okay,
you know,
yeah,
we may get more with Rey or with,
yeah,
know,
we'll get more with those three.
Yeah, those
with
characters.
With the new Trinity. Okay, so speaking of Star Wars, Matt Smith from Doctor Who and The Crown and Skynet.
Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I know.
Well, some people won't get the Skynet reference.
He was Skynet. Spoiler. Is in a key role, according to Variety, in episode 9.
Snow clone.
Well, you said that, and like, you know, He kind of looks like Snoke a little bit anyway.
Like, I'm like, if you're going to cast somebody to play like a flashback of Snoke,
yeah,
that's the perfect character to flashback Snoke. Like, you know, he could do the unscarred, unmarked version of Snoke.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Definitely. I'm not a huge fan of Matt Smith.
I like Matt Smith more on The Crown than I did on Doctor Who.
Which I haven't watched that yet.
And it's not because, you know, he plays a character who's a real person. I think that he conveyed that real person in a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
And played against the people that, you know, he played against, like, really well.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. It's like, Doctor Who, it was him mm-hmm. and Karen Gillian and...
Rory.
Yeah.
I don't remember the actor's name.
Yeah.
He's Rip Hunter on...
Rip Hunter on... So, it was him. Yeah. He was the focus.
Sure.
And he had to carry a lot of weight because of who he followed up from. And on The Crown... he's not the focus.
No.
But when he is the focus in episodes, he eats it up.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's done on that now, too. So
yeah. Well, because he aged out, right?
Or Charles announced the next cast. So, like, each season of The Crown is a decade. Like, takes place over the period of a decade. So now they're going into the 70s. So, obviously, Elizabeth's older. Philip's older. So, it's Tobias... I can't remember how his last name is pronounced, that played Catelyn Stark's brother.
Oh, okay.
It was on Outlander.
Yeah.
He's playing Philip.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Olivia Colman is playing Elizabeth.
Cool.
And Helena Bonham Carter is playing her sister.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you got a really good cast for this
one. I do enjoy Helena Bonham Carter. Charles, I'm just saying.
Charles is older, so they've cast somebody. Like,
with Helena Bonham Carter, just saying. Wouldn't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love her. She's amazing.
She'd eat your soul, but, you know.
I'm all right with that. Yeah. She can have it. What's left of it?
Is she still with Tim Burton? I don't know. They were together for a while, so I don't know.
Love her. She's awesome. Oh, no, they're not together anymore. No.
But him in this movie, it's like we were talking about Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like stunt casting. So it feels like I said, there might be something with the Empire.
So I want to get into this.
Sorry,
because,
the First Order.
Okay, so you have... Daisy, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, and Adam Driver coming back, obviously. But then you have Kerry Russell, Richard E. Grant, Donna McMonaghan, which I love him, and then Naomi Ackie, who I'm not sure who she is.
Sounds familiar.
With Matt Smith.
Yeah. Do you think that...
I feel like they're setting up.
I mean, obviously, there's rumors of, like, you know, something happening behind the scenes with Lucasfilm. But do you think that JJ's setting up a story after the story?
That's what I think.
Yeah, like introducing new characters.
Because
because
you don't typically introduce a whole bunch of new characters in the final act of a trilogy.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because, like, look at Jedi. We didn't get a lot of new characters. That was it. But, like, we'd heard about her. But we met them. Like, it wasn't... them being introduced.
Well, yeah, they weren't like a major...
like General Dodonna and stuff like that, right? Like, we saw him on Yavin, and then we met him in Jedi.
Well, no, he wasn't in Jedi.
Oh, you're right, never mind.
He was in Rogue One.
Bam.
Yeah.
I'm mixed up. Anywho, and he was in Rebels. That's what I'm thinking of.
That was something where it's like you had a lot to use besides the point. But, like, Mon Mothma and... General Madine and Admiral Akbar were up there on purpose to show that the rebels were more than just a ragtag group.
Exactly.
That they had a military leadership. Mm-hmm. Mon Mothma being the inspirational leadership.
Correct.
Kind of, you know. And I mean, who else did they introduce? Nobody. Really.
Nobody.
They introduced Jabba's palace and then killed everybody.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith. They didn't, but they had talked about Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt had been mentioned forever
in the first two movies. Yeah. And then in the Revenge of the Sith.
Well, you know, Jabba was there because.
No, he wasn't.
Jabba was there, but that got put on the cutting room floor and it like showed up on.
For a reason.
What was it?
The special editions.
No. There was a VHS that came out at the same time.
Oh, that had the deleted
from Star Wars to Jedi.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first times they had shown that deleted scene. And it was just a guy dressed up like, you know, any other pirate looking guy.
Right.
Big fat guy.
Yeah.
And that, and it was like, if that would have been Jabba the Hutt, that would have been interesting.
But not
but
as
it would have been like, how do you explain the Hutt unless it's like a title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Revenge of the Sith. They did not introduce any new characters, obviously, going in.
General Grievous.
But again, he was killed off.
Yeah. But General Grievous was there as a story point, and I mean,
he was a MacGuffin. Ish.
General Grievous's origin was done in a comic book, and it was probably one of the more interesting origins of a character.
Yeah.
All the Jedi we had seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really.
And some of them they killed off in the Clone Wars cartoon. They, right. they weren't in. They're like, yeah, we killed them off. Here's why.
These people died.
So it's got, he's got to be setting up
something.
And I'll be honest, I like The Force Awakens. I was happy with what JJ put out there.
Yeah.
I liked the majority, not the majority. I liked a lot of The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I think, again, if it's like, if you take all the Skywalker stuff out of it and you make it kind of like a Rogue One-ish film of them, the Resistance trying to escape and get back to like Leia and the, you know, the group, the main group, it's right. a very different movie.
Do you think that, and you know, it's something not to dwell on, but we do anyways. Do you think that if they would have taken Carrie out of that movie altogether, like she went on another ship and went in another direction, but the main force was being followed by the First Order, that the story would have felt a lot different?
Yes.
And you leave the Luke stuff in.
Mm-hmm. And you leave the Holdo stuff in then.
Yeah.
And then Holdo becomes a much different character.
Right. Yeah.
And we've talked about this ad nauseum, right?
Right.
And you know, all these people are like, oh, you introduced her just to kill her. It's like, she literally has, if you count the number of minutes she's on the screen.
She's not on much.
But she's on more than Admiral Akbar is in four movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
But the thing was, is, and it's one of those things where we've said it, and I know that other people have said it because there's so much, you know, diatribe about this right. movie. Admiral Holdo should have lived and Princess Leia should have died.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Admiral Holdo should have been like, you know, we've got to get to this planet and, you know, set up defenses and all that stuff.
It's just Rian Johnson got too in love with himself and twists and it just
like
didn't work.
Like he M. Night Shyamalan'd it backwards.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But it just
like
didn't
your
work.
Your twist didn't work.
And the fact when he had the chance to, like, kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Leia.
Yeah.
And didn't have the nuts to stick with it.
Right.
And did the whole flying through space with the foreshadowing of her flying through Snoke's ship.
Yeah.
Again, perfect time to put her in there because then you right. can look back and be like, oh yeah, okay, I remember seeing that.
Like, damn, we thought she was dead then. Now she's gonna die here. It's like, you know, if she would have been the one to flow through Snoke's ship and they would have foreshadowed that she was dying and then she didn't die and people would have been like, wait a minute.
Right.
Like made it where she was a little bit more injured than everybody thought.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? You guys need to get off the ship.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna make it.
This is the end of my Star Wars.
Like she could feel it through the Force.
Yep.
And just that would have been cool. That actually would have been really cool.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, okay, like that scene's cool.
And that totally changes
like
the movie.
One of the most awesome shots.
It's
special
beautiful.
Effects.
It is beautiful. And the removal of all sound.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite like just kind of gut wrenching things that you can do. It's like.
Like because you just
did you
get
watch
to 24? Jump the light speed and then you get nothing.
Right. Did you watch 24?
Nah.
Okay. So at the end of the every episode, you got the before it went into the music, right? But when a main character died, you got no.
Really?
And it was like that much more powerful,
sure,
right? And so like A Quiet Place. The lack of sound in A Quiet Place is its own character.
Right.
And it's awesome. I do think it's funny, though, that they had to post signs. Saying no, the sound did not go out in the theater. This is meant to happen, like, you know, an hour and 30 minutes into the movie.
It just makes
because people are morons.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I can see putting warnings like with the strobing stuff that happened in. What was
anytime
it?
There's a strobe, you you need
what
to
was
like
that
warn
that
people.
Happened in recently, oh, Incredibles too. The strobing, you better put a warning on that because. Yeah, if you have epilepsy or something, I can set
you're
that
gonna
shit
trigger
off.
Trigger some.
I'm surprised Disney didn't think of that though.
Well, I mean, they did. They put out a warning.
After the fact.
Well, yeah. But I don't think anyone had a seizure, so.
I don't know.
I don't know. All right. So, yeah. So, you know, Walking Dead is stunt casting. Matt Smith is on the thing. And
Matt Smith is the new Skywalker that will be introduced in episode 9. Hamish Skywalker.
If my microphone wasn't in the way of the table, I would have smacked my head on the table for that one. So Hamish Skywalker. I do like that name, though. That would be a good name. So, dude, if you ever get a dog, another dog,
yeah,
Hamish Skywalker.
Oh, no, it's Ookla. Ookla from Thundar. Ookla the Mock.
I don't know.
We had a discussion the other night. And I'm like, how nerdy would it be like if we had kids? Because I'm the child of a twin.
Right.
She's the child of a twin. So more than likely, if we ever had kids, it might be twins.
And name them Luke and Leia.
And she's like, what would you name your kids? Like, what would you name, like, if you had two boys, identical or not? I said Tomax and Zaymot. she starts laughing and she's like, actually, that wouldn't be a bad one. And I'm like, she's like, what would you name your twins if they were a boy and a girl? And it didn't take long, and I went, Adam and Adora. And she goes, what would you name your twins if they were two girls? I said, Elsa and Anna. And she goes, why Elsa and Anna? I said, because it actually flows. I said, you don't hear the name Elsa that often, but you will in 10 or 15 years. I said, but right now you don't hear the name Elsa that often. I said, so Elsa and Anna.
All right.
Yeah, I was just like, why are we even, we're not having kids.
No, no matter what, you name them Luke and Leia. Like, if it's a two girls, if it's two boys, like, the older one is Luke and the younger one is Leia, no matter what.
Ben and Rey.
What if Rey's not her real name? Ooh. What if it's Susan?
Ooh, even better. Ben and Susan. They're traveling the galaxy with a pair of banjos.
All right, J.J. Abrams, I know you're not listening to this, but please just make her real name be Susan.
Susan
Rey? Just for shits and giggles. No, Rey has nothing to do with it, right? Like, Rey is,
you know,
just
what?
Something she...
Rey, I have a secret to tell you. It's Kylo. Rey, I have a secret to tell you. Your parents in a drunken stupor did not name you Rey. They named you Susan.
No!
and they didn't care about you either.
Obviously, they named her Susan.
I don't know if I haven't known anybody named Susan in a long time.
I went to high school with a girl named Susan. Who was very sweet and nice, and I really liked her.
I mean, there's people in our age group that are named Susan, but I don't think I've ever met anybody younger than us named Susan.
I pseudo-dated a girl in college named Susan.
Okay.
So, but anyway.
That's still in our age range.
Oh, yeah, definitely in our age range. But I don't know any.
You're
like,
10 years younger than us?
The kid,
I don't think there's anybody
with
named
the kids'
Susan.
Age range, I've never seen any of them named Susan. Wow. They're all like Brittany and Kylie and...
That's because they watched 90210.
Yeah. Brenda.
Yeah. Totally, there's the twin names they use.
Brandon and Brenda.
Brenda.
Or not. One will be a wuss bag and the other will be a bitch.
Well, I almost wanted to say to her, I just would name him what I would name a dog if we got another dog. Like, one would be named Ookla and the other one's the Mock.
Yeah, nice. So, no, you got to go.
Because I told her, I said, I don't think I've known any G.I. Joe fan that's had kids.
Yeah.
Would have the balls to name their kids Tomax and Zaymot.
No, you name them.
the first day of school, Tomax Podorf, Tomax.
And Appa and Momo.
I'm like, TP, you know? TP.
Appa and Momo.
Oh, yeah, you could literally go through and just
Sokka,
like,
and Katara. Ang and Toph.
It literally, like, you could name your kid. If you had twins, you could go Peter and Parker.
Yeah,
you know? Clark and Kent. Yeah, see? You've never thought of that before.
I have, actually. Well, because if she would have been a boy, her name would have been Grayson Parker.
Yeah.
Which I'm really glad she wasn't a boy now, because for a lot of reasons. But I also know, like, 13 people who named their son Grayson.
Grayson.
And it's, but like,
well, yeah, because there was that moment in time, and I don't know what happened.
But it has nothing to do with Robin, like, or Dick Grayson.
Grayson's and Logan's, and they don't have nothing to do with Batman or Wolverine.
Yeah, it was just an in-gauche name.
Was there somebody named... famous name Logan that I missed?
Logan Paul.
No. Who's that?
The YouTuber.
Oh, see, no.
Anywho.
Instead, you named your kid Helga.
Well. Helga. Helga. Start calling her that and see what she does.
She'll kick my ass.
She's going to be taller than both of us. You know
I'll
that, right?
I'll take her down still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, all right.
Just because I'm a bull in a china shop.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so we left off Voltron on episode 6, The Journey Within, which was pretty cool. And they got their minds right, if you will, with their lions. Yeah. And they come in and they've got the big giant.
Their chis are at a
pinnacle
now.
Their chakras are aligned.
Yes.
So we come in and we are on The Last Stand, part 1 and 2, episode 7 and 8.
Yeah.
So you made a really excellent point. Like, episode 6 would have definitely been a season finale.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been, okay, they made it to Earth. Now I have to, what do you mean I have to wait a month or 2 months,
right,
or whatever?
Yeah, whatever you have to wait.
So I'm glad they didn't make me wait, although I would have been happy to wait with as good as the back half of this season was.
And you totally could tell a difference in the taste of the first part of the season to the second part of the season. Like, it was supposed to be two different seasons. And that, because we end up without Voltron in the first part of the story.
Well, I mean, Voltron doesn't form until episode 6.
Well, right. But I mean, we end up with the Voltron Force. Sorry.
Yeah.
The Voltron Force is in the beginning of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's a two-parter that takes place on Earth.
It absolutely is. And you got to see what happens when Pidge's dad gets back to Earth.
Right.
And, you know, his warning and the galaxy, the bureaucracy of the Galaxy Garrison.
Oh, yeah, which was crap.
Well, it made sense, though. Like, I don't know. I really liked that part of the story.
I mean, my whole problem was it was the Earth still not united.
Well, I don't know. They never
said.
They
made it sound like
they
that,
made it
though.
Seem like it was, yeah.
Even though there had been a third world war.
Yeah.
Which we didn't learn until this.
Right.
And that, and, you know, we learned that people were related to people that we didn't know that.
Well, the whole Veronica thing.
Yeah, Veronica.
Came from out of nowhere, and it was awesome. Because Lance's sister is super capable and awesome.
Yeah.
And will be the leader of Vehicle Voltron at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
everybody they introduced, I was like, Vehicle Voltron,
yeah.
Vehicle Voltron.
Well,
Vehicle
and,
Voltron.
And it was a great callback to the first episode with Keith's little rival from grade school.
Yep.
Now being like one of the top pilots in the garrison, or, you know, one of the top pilots left.
Right.
You know, because all the top pilots are all flying Voltron. That was really cool. The ships that he made for them.
They were all still cadets, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, right? They're all still cadets,
yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Wait a minute.
They've been gone for years, and they're
still...
They've
been leading armies and, you know, protecting the galaxy and universe, and it's like,
And then Iverson referred to them as cadets,
yeah,
and it
I'm
was
like... Wait, what?
Yeah.
You I like thought... that Iverson's named after one of the writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after Philadelphia 76ers point guard all-star Allen Iverson.
I don't think that's true at all.
That's all I can think of.
No.
So this was really cool. The ships that he built for them.
Yeah.
Looked exactly like Hotlicks.
Like what?
Hotlicks. The ship from the Silverhawks.
Oh, okay.
Like it has, like, if you go back and look at it, it's like, you know, he's not pushing Steelheart and Steel Will out the side chambers there. And, you know, but other than that, they looked really similar, which was cool. And I loved
the
design.
I was thinking it
looked
very much like Battlestar Galactica.
Well, there was a lot of that. There was very much of that in there.
What was it called?
The Atlas.
Atlas.
Yeah, was the Galactica.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Close.
Well, it's just like when the jets are introduced, because they, you know, he builds jets first for the...
Well, but they only built four.
Well, they built four
because
that's
all they had
the
ability
to do. Yeah, and they all look like Robotech jets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, we're getting Robotech?
There is a lot of Robotech influence in the second half of this season.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see the majority of the decimation of Earth.
Yeah, the Galred.
With Syndak.
Signal back.
It's just Syndak.
We finally get the answer to where Syndak was.
Right,
yeah.
Which was great.
Because that was the thing, like, when they said 3 years had passed, it's like, well, where's Sindak? Because he was really, like, the one that was pushing to take over.
Well, and he's the one who probably should have taken over, like, from the Galra perspective.
Right, yeah.
Instead of Prince Lodor. But, yeah, it was a great way to kick off the second half of the season. It answered a ton of questions, and it set up the rest of the season.
And probably the rest of the series.
Well, yeah, definitely. But when they showed up, when the Paladins show up, that little brief power struggle,
right,
where they're like, oh, well, we'll just give them the lions. And Allura's like, no.
Yeah.
They're my lions.
Yeah.
They are Altaian property.
They demand the lions. And she's like, no.
No, they belong to me.
My dad made those.
These people are just renting them from me.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of funny.
It literally is, because it's like that point where she's like, pretty much like, my dad made these. They're mine.
Yep.
Sorry.
These be mine. And then the whole thing with, like, you know, just skipping around at this point. Shiro getting his arm back, kind of.
Oh, I literally, like, as soon as he got his new robot arm, I was like, oh, we're going to have a one-arm fight between Sindak and Shiro.
Well, obviously, you know.
Because his arm was very comparable.
Well, and that's what she did. She used the same. I mean, because that's
the same technology.
Altaian, Galra, like, that technology is the same in that part of the galaxy. I was a little weirded out by just the floating forearm and hand.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's Sindak, too.
But it worked. Well, but Sindak has that big glowy ball that's like an elbow.
Because he's got the old tech.
Yeah, the old tech. Right. Part of me is like, I would have liked to have seen them put, like, the actual, like, arm.
Like, he would have had an arm
like
he did.
You know, like Bucky kind of thing. Replace it.
They did that. I mean, the clone had that, but, you know, it was the same thing.
Well, I mean, he was a clone, but Keith cut that arm off, remember?
Well, right.
So, Shiro, in the second half, took on a completely different character arc.
He became a leader.
He is the leader
he was meant to be.
Yeah, this is who he should have been all along.
Right.
And, It shows.
Well, it was the whole thing with the Galaxy Garrison not being able to get their stuff together, you know, being warned that they may come.
Right.
They may be coming, but not, you know, we're not going to tell anybody.
Right.
And it's like, you know, most people, if they got organized, would look for that. What was her name? The leader.
The Admiral. I don't remember her name.
Something with an M.
Yeah.
But if they would have been looking for her head on a pike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because it's like, you know, you don't do a cover up like that. And then they all just appear in the sky and start shooting.
Right. I mean, and when Katie's mom and dad went on the air and were like, hey, this is what's happening. And they are keeping us silent.
At that point, it's too late.
It was
because when Matt sends a transmission back going saying, stop transmitting.
Yep.
You know, it's like already the Galra.
You just told the Galra where you are.
Yeah. I think the Galra had a pretty good knowledge of where they were anyways.
Yeah, I think they probably had a good idea.
The Blue Lion was on that planet. So, you know.
And there had been plenty of Galra on Earth between that time and the invasion anyway. Right. So I have to say the planning portion of getting to go to war with them.
Yeah.
The Lions were relatively ineffective for a lot of this season.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was a bad thing, though.
I think, like, it was just that thing where, you know, the pride of being home and all that.
But they were grossly overwhelmed.
Yeah, well,
And the whole, you didn't realize how much of a part the Castle of Lions played in Voltron's major victories.
Right.
Because they really didn't have it until, you know, everything with the Atlas.
Right.
And for the majority of the season, the Atlas was a paperweight.
Well, yeah, it was meant to be that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I did love that, you know, Corran is essentially wearing the compressed Castle of Lions around his neck.
Right.
And that's what they ended up using to power it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And it goes to show that Shiro's time, his consciousness's time, bonded with the Black Lion, has carried over to the castle.
Well, right.
And so that's
the whole fact that, like, you know, all the technology is based around each other.
Yeah.
But it's like Allura's dad built the lions. Coran's grandpa and dad built the castle.
Right.
So it's like you literally they're the children of the builders.
Yeah.
And then you have these people who have become so integrated with the technology now that they're controlling the lions and they're not even in them.
Right.
Like they formed Voltron without being inside the lions.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. And then Voltron goes and picks them all up. Like, right. Hey, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Hey.
Won't you just
Won't
you space suit out of there and get my mouth?
Come on. Yeah, exactly. So. Literally, like, just pull up and I'll pop the back open and we'll be in. We'll get in.
So the Admiral, she did redeem herself kind of at the end, but like if you didn't see that but if you didn't see that coming, like that was kind of ridiculous.
I was just like at the point where she's like locked in the cage and is like weeping and whining, I'm like, oh, she's going to die because she's going to save them.
But she kind of did, but she kind of didn't at the same time. There were no tears for her.
Nah.
And like, you know, I think Keith would have probably just run her through anyway.
Right.
Because he's, you know, full on battle Keith.
Where did the dog disappear to?
The dog was still in the back, like in the Galaxy Garrison with everybody.
Well, right. So. But like,
why wasn't it going to, why didn't the dog just pop up and save Keith and pop out? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden you use this, like.
You use it amazingly through the first half of the season.
And then all of a sudden you don't use it.
Well, maybe the budget was too high to draw. Oh, like, you know, like a ghost on,
I was just like,
on Game of Thrones.
Literally like the points where they were trying to invade different things. I'm like, why aren't you using the dog?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you don't have to like say.
Actually, they did when they were on the Galra ship, right?
But I'm like, you don't have to jump him from ship to ship and just save the Force, and that. But I'm like,
jump him to Keith,
yeah,
and Keith can go do what Keith does best,
right?
Which is,
but
save
like at certain points, it's like Shiro needed him more than Keith did.
Yeah, no, you're right, and
I thought it was really like a well done story altogether, like you know, just to show the decimation of the planet, show Hunk in a different light.
So,
like, Hunk went from being the comedy to being the seriousness of the show.
Well, and you learn, like, you know, I never thought I would be a paladin for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I thought I would come back to Earth and somebody else could take over the Yellow Lion. And, I mean, that was so cool. And you know, Hunk is one of my, I mean, they're, like, I love all these characters.
Well,
I think they're all great. And it's varying degrees. I mean, Keith is obviously my favorite. I've said that before. But at the end of the day, like, Hunk turned into the character he's supposed to be as the real, like, heart of of the team.
Yeah.
Not of Voltron, but of the five of them. He is the fulcrum of the family.
Right.
Like, and he's where, as he goes, the rest of them follow.
Right.
With, you know,
but even like the moment that him and Keith have, I'm like, that's really cool the way they wrote that.
Well, and they had the huge fight before where he called him a coward, and then they have this moment and he's like, and Keith's like, if you ever want to talk, and then Hunk just like unloads on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I guess you want to talk. Yeah. And it was great to see Keith in that moment because he's been so reserved.
Right.
And then to be there for his friend was really quite cool.
And just like the showing of the video that they had all made the letters to home and like literally showing their families like all like, you know, surprise. I was like, that was a cool thing because you were like, oh yeah, there's Hunk's family. Yep. There's
I like how his mom wears the headband.
Yeah.
So that was,
but like
cool.
Just the flashbacks and the little bit. I'm like, that's cool. It's like that was the stuff that I think we needed for them to be back on Earth. It's for us to see them outside of the Voltron.
Yep. It was really, really cool. You know, you have all of the stuff about, you know, the crystals and the different things that they need to power it.
Well, there's a lot of like, and we're gonna jump to the end because we're not gonna make this real long. There's a lot of story in those six episodes.
Yeah.
And then that seventh episode is just a straight up fight the entire episode. There's not a moment of story in that episode. It's just
there's not
ass kicking episode.
And I'll say this, the animation this time out, where it was like when the lions would be like pulled apart,
yeah,
was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was amazing. This is some of the best work Studio Mir has ever done.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, they're the greatest animation studio on the planet.
Okay.
And this is them at their absolute best.
They even made Vehicle Voltron look cool.
Well, let's talk about the Atlas for a second. That was a cool looking ship.
What was,
when
it was,
transformed.
It was a cool battleship anyways. It's like, you know, it was that thing where you're like, they were taking hits and nothing was happening. I was like, okay, because they had the shield that the castle had. And that, but like literally when the shield was down, they were still taking hits where it's like, most other ships would be like going down.
It should look like Swiss cheese at this point.
And then it's like your captain is the guy who was in charge of Voltron.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he has a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, uh-oh, this is Vehicle Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
Like literally as soon as he had the flash, I'm like, oh, so this is what's going to be Vehicle Voltron, at least for this episode. Like, quote, Vehicle Voltron. And then when he flashes back and he's like, okay, everybody on the ship, go get to your, get to your departments.
Brace yourselves.
Stay still.
Yeah.
And then it starts turning into like something else. And I'm like, well, they didn't set it up that way.
No.
And
it was the
like,
crystal from the Castle of Lions that it, cause it's the Altaian alchemy or magic, if you will, or science, you know,
he's the mixture of that technology. And just
well,
because
he has the Balmeric crystal in his arm.
Well, he's part of now at this point, Shiro is part human, part Altaian, part Galra.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he has a
part
mixture,
robot,
part robot. But I mean, he has a mixture of DNA technology from the Altaians, the Galrans, and then his human DNA.
Well, like if you look back to it, like Hagar is really the reason he was able to do any of
this. Sure, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it was...
that thing was, you know, holding Voltron in its hand kind of thing.
Yeah, it was...
And I'm like, yeah, this is cool for an episode, but this isn't going to be Vehicle Voltron.
It
I'm like,
was
but this
like
is where the technology starts to come.
The Iron Giant holding Hogarth.
Yeah.
The size.
But, I mean, they were fighting the Roe Beast, and it's like, even the Atlas was not impervious.
It was too slow to the Robies as well, which was great.
Even Voltron was at a certain point.
Well,
yeah.
I gotta say, that robot was awesome looking.
Well, and at first I was like, oh, is this Lotor coming back? Because it looked like Lotor's
It looked exactly, it looked a lot like.
Yeah. And I'm like, but the head was different, which was like the first thing that made me go, okay, this isn't Lotor's vehicle. But it's like, it took the entire episode for them to defeat this thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is cool. I'm like, this shows that, like, Voltron isn't the all-powerful Voltron.
So, So, Shiro and Syndak fight it out while Syndak's ship is crashing to Earth.
Yeah.
And the Lions are stabilizing it so it doesn't land on people.
Right.
Right? And that fight was great because they're, floating robotic arm versus floating
one
robotic
arm.
Versus
one arm is what I said.
And then, you know, the ship crashes and Shiro is there and you can tell he's hurt.
Yeah.
And Syndak stands up and it's like, oh, like I thought Shiro was going to die.
Shiro was going
to
die.
I really thought they were going to do that.
They really did allude
and then,
well to that.
And then he's taking this time. You're thinking, okay, the Black Lion is going to come and just smash him with the paw.
Right.
No, it was so much cooler because the Black Lion shows up and out of its mouth comes Keith, Bayard's sword bared. And it does that cool, like, anime shot where he comes through and you just see the sword go through and Keith lands and then Syndak falls.
Yeah, and it's literally the shadow thing too. Like that old anime style where it wasn't like, you know, showing the
blade. Right.
You just see the blade go through him and he just falls.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well,
he ain't even gonna fall apart.
So the blade goes through him and then Keith does like the superhero landing.
Yeah.
And then you see Syndak over his shoulder just fall, which was so cool. I don't think it's a kid's cartoon where he's going to slide apart.
Right.
But
I was like, I literally was like, okay, we finally got an ending to Syndak.
Mm-hmm.
And
a very satisfying ending.
Well, right. Because Syndak had been around since the first season.
First episode.
Yeah. But I'm like, you knew they were setting up something else.
And then
at the end of the episode, we get it.
So they're celebrating.
Yeah.
And then something just hits the planet Earth.
Well, yeah.
And then they go to the next episode.
Right.
Like, honestly, if they would have ended the season right there.
Yeah.
I'd have been perfectly okay to come back to this as the first episode.
Just the first episode would be all the fight. Yeah.
But ending it like that and setting up where the end of the series is going to be.
Yeah.
Was Joaquin and Lauren's masterstroke.
Like, literally, I just was like, Lotor's ghost is haunting them.
Well, he's got to still be alive.
Maybe.
So.
At this point, he's corrupted Altaians.
Well, these are the Altaians that he was experimenting on.
Right. Like,
and it's very interesting, too, because it took the quintessence from Voltron.
Right.
From the Atlas.
Right.
You know, it was so, so very cool. And the versatility of it.
Well, sure.
And then it's cool little chest cannon.
Well, everything about that Robeast was cool. And the reveal at the end of the episode was that there's an Altaian flying that Robeast.
And it was great that it was 6 months later, or 3 months later, or whatever it was. And it was like, well, we've been looking for the fuel source and we finally found
it. Well, yeah, they had been retrieving pieces of the Robeast. And they found it, but in orbit? Did they say they found it in orbit?
They found it all over a planet. Because
well,
when it exploded,
it
went.
They were finding
it
all over the planet.
Yeah.
I think they said they picked up a piece off the moon or something.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, okay.
Well, because they took it into space. And like, that's another moment where they take it into space, right?
Yeah.
And you think for a second they're not going to make
it. They're not coming
back. Like, this is it. And like, the Lions have fallen to Earth and they're all dead inside.
Right.
And
then we get Robotech Force.
I was really happy that they didn't kill them off.
So the guy that plays the leader of the
Griffin
is the guy who played the voice of Lotor. AJ LaCrosse.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he played the voice of Griffin.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, cool. It's like, because you're like, you totally can't tell. It's a totally different voice. But I'm like, that's cool. It's like, they actually like kept him around to do that. It's
well,
like,
he is such a great voice actor.
Yeah.
So,
I had never heard of him until this show. So I was like, you know, it's like, okay, cool.
Cause he's in that, that You're Welcome video that,
yeah.
What's his name? The guy that plays Shiro's voice.
Uh-huh. I don't know at the moment.
Dude,
sorry.
Anyway, he does a You're Welcome video and it's really funny.
The one
who
played Hal Jordan on the Green Lantern.
Yeah. Josh Keaton.
Josh Keaton.
And, Green Lantern. Yeah. Jogged my memory there. But yeah, so so you cut out the last minute or so of the tag of the season finale.
Yeah.
And like, they've just destroyed it and they're like, hey,
and people are reuniting and all that.
But even if so, then like Katie's dad is like, we're going to use this to power the future, right?
Right.
Like, that's an awesome series finale.
Yeah.
So, but they took it one step further and said, okay, we're not even close to being done yet.
Yeah. They totally did like the Marvel thing without doing credits.
Yep. And I liked,
it really felt like it too. Like, you know, it was like, hey, Allura, can you come here?
Yeah.
Can you go down and ride this elevator with me? We got to show you something.
Hey.
Come
with me. I got something.
It literally felt like that too. Yeah. Like, hey,
we're keeping this on the down low right now.
Yeah. This isn't good.
And I loved all the aliens showing up on Earth. Rebbit Sal showed up.
Yeah.
You know, the Balmera.
Yeah. What was left of the Malmorans.
Yep. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah, because that was cool.
The
like,
one guy with the, you
Keith,
know, the.
Keith was injured severely. Like, he's in the hospital. And, like, his mom and what's his name from the Blade of Malmora are in his hospital room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was cool. It's
that
like,
was
that's
really
a cool.
cool
little reunion. And everybody was being reunited with their families, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Shiro's speech was awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. On the whole, like, just wrapping up, this season was great.
Yeah.
The last three seasons have been great.
Yeah, I don't think this show's like had a bad moment that I could like.
There's been
like,
a little bit where it's like
weird
dragged, but
where I'm like, okay, I see where you're going with this. Like, you know, a couple of episodes later, like, there's the payoff.
Yep.
And that, but there's never
like
been
the
a
mall
where I'm like,
right, the mall episode from season two, or season one.
I think it was season two.
It was season two. Like, that's a great episode as a standalone. It's like WTF, but then again, you jump to
off,
a few episodes later, and it's like yes, and then you jump to season seven, and they're still worried about the goddamn cow.
Yeah, we finally got to see the cow too.
Yep.
I was like, you didn't get to see the cow for the whole first part of the season. And I'm like, they showed the cow when they landed on Saturn.
Yeah.
And I was like, or Saturn's moon.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, there's the cow. Like, everybody was worried about how the animals were going to
do.
Right. the mice are just like chilling out. Like, hey.
Yeah. I like that. Eating. You can't have the mice with the wolf with the mice because the mice will eat the wolf. And you can't have the wolf with the, or the, the mice with the cow, because cows are afraid of mice. Yeah, like, and Grant's like, you don't understand anything. No. And then Lance explaining to him what an elephant was.
Yes.
So
there has to be a moment where, like, in the next season, they go to a zoo on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, just a story in a zoo on Earth. And, like, Coran interacting with elephants and hippos and stuff would be kind of cool. It's something that they could do, too, because, I mean, the game show episode was really, like, off the wall.
Yeah.
And it's like, just do that every season. Do, like, one-off.
Well, yeah, because the one before.
Well, the Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, Monsters & Mana.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing episode. So.
I'm pleased with those type episodes, too. Gives a little break to the story.
And they have an uncanny way of finding the perfect moment in the season to place those.
Yeah.
So. All right, man. I don't have anything else I can say about this.
The last episode jumps like 100 years ahead. The very last
to
episode.
See
just
like
show like what Voltron did to the universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, that would be where I would show Vehicle Voltron.
Yeah.
And like just, you know, Voltron inspired them to build this.
Yeah. They show the galaxy and it's in ruins. And
oh, yeah, sure.
Voltron's been gone for 100 years.
A new age. Voltron. No, like Voltron would be an inspiration to the entire universe at that point.
Voltron's been frozen in an iceberg.
Oh,
jeez. I'm kidding.
Trapped in a time warp. And,
yeah.
You know.
But no, I agree with you. I think showing like this is what all of this built to.
Right.
And, you know, Vehicle Voltron is still there, is there now.
Yeah, Voltron has taken the place because Voltron would be, you know, what, billions of years old at that point?
Well, it's 10,000 years old.
Yeah, so
at least 10,000 years.
Another 100 years.
But anyway, all right.
Or do it where their kids steal Voltron.
Oh.
Because
they're great-grandkids.
Their great-grandkids steal Voltron.
That would be interesting.
For some other reason.
But where it's a statue, like he's like Voltron's all put together.
Well, it would be like a museum. Like Voltron's in a museum type thing, you know. And that, I mean,
the Voltrorium or something.
Yeah. Just the Voltron Museum.
The Volzium.
Yeah. That would be where you throw in Vehicle Voltron, like in a picture, the two of them fighting together and that type of stuff.
They're like,
I don't need Vehicle Voltron, but I'd like to see their
take
on the actual Vehicle Voltron from the 80s.
But you have Vehicle Voltron and Voltron, and they're like winking and thumbs up, like
back to back with guitars.
Oh no, they're back to back and they've got their arms crossed.
They're
like
sitting on
like
a phone
every
booth.
rom-com
they're sitting
cover.
On the phone booth with Coran and everybody else hanging out of it. Yeah, you know.
All right,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or something. Voltron and Voltron's Excellent Adventure.
Vehicle Voltron and Lion Voltron's Great Big Excellent Adventure. Bogus Journey.
What is it? Lion Force and Vehicle Force's Great Adventure.
Yeah, there you go. All right. If you guys haven't watched this and you're still listening to this, I don't know what else to tell you other than to go watch it. And if you have watched it, I don't know what else to tell you other than to go watch it again.
I'm gonna wait till the end.
Yeah.
I really think I don't want to, you know, if they're putting the next batch out in November.
Yeah.
And then the last batch out probably February or March. Yeah. I might just wait till the end.
Oh, speaking of February or March, it was announced today that Game of Thrones is going to have wrapped its season before the cutoff for Emmy nominations, which is May 31st. So
the show premieres in April.
It'll be in April. And it's,
well, they announced the premiere date.
It's the same weekend. It's the 8th year anniversary of the pilot.
Oh, is it?
So, which I don't know if they did that on purpose or not. I kind of hope they did.
What, April the 14th?
8th.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the 14th.
Or 8th or
9th.
But yeah. Something like that. Anyway. Okay. And then they're saying Winds of Winter is going to come out in the second half of 2019. So.
What is Winds of Winter?
Oh, the next book?
The spinoff?
The next book. Okay. And no, the spinoff is called The Long Night, and that's going to be out in 2020 because it starts shooting in February.
Ah, okay.
So, and we'll get to see The Long Night and Bran the Builder and the Night King.
They're jumping back.
Oh, yeah, they're going back, 1,000 years.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so they're going back. They're going back even before the Hedge Knight story.
Yep.
And all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, before
I
the
really
wall.
I really would have liked to seen that as a cartoon.
The Hedge Knight as a cartoon would be really cool. Yeah. Like the old, like Hobbit
HBO
cartoon.
Do a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you remember the old Hobbit cartoon
HBO,
movie?
You've done cartoons before. It's worked.
Yeah. HBO.
Spawn was actually pretty cool.
Do an Invincible cartoon in this vein of Spawn.
That would be cool.
Anyway. All right. On that note, anything else to add?
No, we're out of here.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye. Well, actually, you won't. Well, no, you'll see them next week. Never mind. It's 2 weeks.
I was gonna say 2 weeks.
You're gone in 2 weeks. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.